Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, welcome to episode 127 of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. This is Ashlyn Dave. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, center of the universe, Central Virginia, and it is the week of April 20th, 2011. This is a multi-topic episode. I want to thank Mandy for her work in episode 126. I thought it was very informative. Matter of fact, I've asked my wife to listen to episodes 117 and 126, so she will have all the information that she needs to crew me down at the Keys Ultra Marathon in May. She's been doing that, and I think that's the first time she's ever listened to my podcast. My wife doesn't listen to my podcast, which is kind of thought she might be interested in doing that, but she doesn't. But she is listening to the ones about the Keys. For this show, I'm going to talk about several different things. I'm going to talk about my buddy Tom's effort at the Bull Run, 50-mile ultra, which was back on April 9th. I'll talk about my 50K training run and how I got a little turned around on that when the bridge was closed and was really disappointed. I'll talk about, that was a couple weeks ago, and then last weekend's double long run of a 24 and a 10-miler. And then a major no-no to do after you do double long runs. You definitely don't want to go to the Art Museum, and I'll talk about that. And I'll hit on a couple race director things since we got the Ashland Railroad Run coming up on April 30th, which is pretty much encompassing my thoughts for several months now, ever since I took on one of the leadership roles in that. And then we'll get to some listener email. Let's see. I might hit on a couple other things. I did get some equipment to test out for my ultra, and I'm going to talk about the gaiters I got and my reflective vest and headlamp situation. So, got a lot of different things to talk about for this show, and then we'll hit on some the email bag section of the show. And because I continue to get some really good emails, and I missed a couple people on the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign. Which, speaking of the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign, I do appreciate the people that wrote in that missed the cut. That episode really didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. In fact, I listened to it again, and it was actually pretty lame. I don't think I'll do that again. I do like getting people's emails, no doubt about that. I mean, I really do like getting emails from folks. And sometimes I feel like I don't respond as detailed as I should. And mostly it's just a time thing because, you know, I've got a whole other life outside of the running podcast. No one feels slighted if I don't give them a full email back. Because sometimes people write me some very lengthy emails that I always read, and I just can't respond back as lengthy. And I think most people probably understand that. Let's talk about the Bull Run Run. The Bull Run Run is... It's at Hemlock Overlook Regional Park in Fairfax, Virginia, I think is where we were. And I didn't really get along around the course. I pretty much just showed up at the finish line to watch Tom finish. Met up with his wife and his family up there. It's called the Bull Run Run because it kind of commemorates the Battle of Bull Run. And Bull Run, I think, is a creek. I don't really know. So, Battle of Bull Run being a Civil War battle. So, this ultra has, when you sign up, you either become a North or a South representative. And that's kind of how they do the race. And I think the North won again this year. They announced it at the end. It's a trail marathon. It's a 50-miler. Tom ran that, and he ran it in, I think it was 11 hours, 11 minutes, something like that. Was that what it was, Tom? Anyway, I got to the, I got up there to, it started at 6, I can't remember what time it started. I think, no, it started at 5 a.m., and my plan was to get up there to see him finish, because it was about an hour and a half from my house, and I thought that was pretty reasonable to get up there and see him finish, because he's been a real good friend of mine, and he's the one that punked me up at the B&A Trail Marathon, he and Ashlyn Bob. So I kind of felt a little bit obligated to go up there and support him. Not, you know, a tit-for-tat kind of thing, but just because he's a good friend. And if, you know, if I got a close friend that's running an ultra marathon within a two-hour drive, maybe even a three-hour drive, and I've got the time, I think I'm probably going to make an effort to get up there and see the person finish, or at least support him at an aid station somewhere, because that's just kind of what you do. So I got up there in plenty of time, got a great parking spot right near where the gate was, blocking people from getting any closer to the finish line area. And the finish line area was great, because it was kind of, there was lots of little benches on an overlook hill, kind of looking down at the finish, and the finish was a little bit uphill, kind of coming up the hill where the spectators were. So you could see your runner coming from pretty far. And I didn't, once Tom's wife and kids got up there, she was able to give me, and she gave me some updates by text when they were at the last aid stations. And once I, you know, got in the car and was heading on up there, I let her know that I was en route. So we met up at the finish line and saw him come in, and it was really cool. It was kind of funny, because he thought that I had my dog up there with me. Someone had a yellow Labradoodle. I'd never really seen a Labradoodle up close before. This Labradoodle had its hair cut really short, so it was, I guess it was, you know, the hair was, or maybe it wasn't a Labradoodle. I don't know, but Tom thought I had my dog with me. He thought that was my dog, Blue. And I think he was hallucinating, because the dog wasn't even near me. So that's what happens to you after a 50-miler. It was kind of funny. But anyway, he did really good. I think he was part of a team, not really sure. The best thing about this race from a spectator's point of view was that the food at the finish line was for everybody. It wasn't just for runners and their families. It was for anybody that was showing up to support the people finishing the ultra. So I had a hamburger and potato salad and chips and a drink. And, you know, that was really good, because I was going to have to stop on the way home and get something to eat. So, you know, that saved me, you know, $6-7, not to mention how much gas you burn up these days. So that was pretty cool. You know, no complaints there whatsoever. So I did see several people there that I knew knew personally from other ultras I've been in or been at. It was put on by the Virginia Happy Trails Club. So Gary was there, and Gary's son was there, Gary Nippling, who I've talked about in a previous podcast. He's very well known around the ultra community up in the Virginia area. His son is pretty talented. His son ran it, I think, under 9 hours, which is incredible. But he's a younger guy, real light. I had a real good time. Tom would be able to give me a better, you know, race report from the Bull Run Run. He hasn't given me one. He's probably not. He's not really one that, you know, writes up a race report kind of guy. But that's all right. He'll probably send an email. And I think I've got some stuff in the email bag section of the show related to Tom. I think you put a comment on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. So anyway, I'll put a link to the Bull Run Run in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com if for some reason you want if you want more information about the Bull Run Run. But it was a pretty cool experience going up there and seeing people finish. Like I said, I saw several people that I was familiar with, and really just saw one person that I knew personally and talked to. Her name was Martha. She was I saw her at the Icy 8 and at the Willis River 50K. Other than that, you know, sometimes you just see people that you see at other races, and since I was a spectator, I didn't really go up to anybody and try to make any connections or anything. I just wasn't in that mood to do that. You know, sometimes I'm in the mood to talk to other people, but this time I wasn't really in that mood. I just wanted to kind of see Tom finish, you know, visit with him a little bit, and then get in the car and go home. And one thing I did realize about this area of Virginia where the race was is when I think of Northern Virginia, I tend to think of the Beltway and Interstate 95 and basically just this cesspool of suburbia, you know, pavement everywhere and stuff. But once you get off some of the main roads up in Northern Virginia, it's really some beautiful countryside, and that's where this race was. It was in, you just drove through some really pretty areas to get to the trailhead and the finishing area, which was kind of in a park around some cabins, and it was pretty nice. Tom said it was pretty hilly, and by the looks of people that were coming in, they were really muddy. So that's not really my kind of race. And Tom had this big gash on the front of his left shin. And I asked him how he got that, and he said, I have no idea. So I think there was a lot of rugged terrain in that race, and probably not something I would do. But anyway, Tom, you got another one under your belt, and we'll match that here hopefully next month. And we'll be talking to you more about that soon. So well done. Now, let me talk about my 31-mile training run that I did a couple weeks ago. This was one of the only weekends where I didn't do double long runs. But the plan I've been following for my 50-mile ultra called for 131-miler. So my plan to do that was to run from my house to across the James River and then get my wife to pick me up later in the day. And I was able to get together with my buddy Rodney because we had similar running plans for that weekend. So we just figured we might as well run together. He had a little bit more of a time constraint than I did, and he started early. If I'm not mistaken, I think he started around 4 in the morning with his run, and he ran, I think he did about 10 miles before he got to hooked up with me, and then we did a 6-mile loop through Ashland, and then we started heading south, which was going to take us across the James River. I'd mapped out a route before, because there's only so many bridges across the James River in Richmond, and you know you can't go across on foot on all of them. There's two that you can go across on foot. So we were going to be going over what's called the Huguenot Bridge. Well, you know, we get going. You know, it was dark. Rodney had never run that route before, so I was kind of showing him where we were going to go. And the route goes down Route 1, then it cuts over, and then gets on Route 33 and goes by a hospital called St. Mary's. And that was going to be his 31-mile mark. So I dropped him off there. We stopped at convenience stores on the way down to refuel. And things were going pretty good. We were doing intervals, running at a pretty good clip. Overall, just for your information, it took me 5 hours and 50 minutes to clear 31 miles, which is about 50K, which is pretty sure that's probably the fastest I've ever run that distance. You know, it wasn't a race, so I'm not going to call it a PR, but I tell you that I did a 7 and 3. We did a 7-minute run, 3-minute walk for recovery the whole time, pretty much interrupted here and there with some visits in the convenience stores. And that really worked out. I really liked the 7 and 3, and man, I could just keep going. But what happened was around the 20, I kind of got twisted around a little bit on my description here, but what happened at the 20-mile mark was I started having some severe ankle pain in my right ankle. And when I say severe, like on 1 to 10, scale of 1 to 10, it was kind of a 6, meaning it was hurting. It was severe. And in my scale, a 9 and a 10 would be something that puts me down, you know, sitting down off my feet. So I can run 6, 7, and 8. 9 and 10, it was something that would be hurting so bad that I couldn't even walk on it. So I would call when I burn my feet back at the 50-miler last year, I would call that a 10 and a pain threshold, probably even a 12. That was pretty painful because all the nerve endings were exposed. But the ankle pain was about a 6, and you know I kept running on it for another 11 miles. And I got worried, though, because it didn't get worse. It just didn't go away. And when I got home, it hurt for several days. As a matter of fact, I took the rest of the week off except for Friday before I did the 24 and the 10. And I got really worried, and that was a 56.4-mile week for me, which is that I found where my breaking point is. So that I'm not going to be doing a 60-mile week with my program because I think it's just going to be silly. You know, I can crawl to finish the ultra if I have to, but I don't want to get hurt, and I don't want to be hurt at the starting line. So, you know, if the pain got worse, you know, if it went up to that 9 or 10, then I obviously was going to have to stop. But it never really got past the 6. It just hurt. It was severe. but it was not debilitating. So I finished that. Dropped Rodney off at the St. Mary's Hospital ER entrance there. His wife came and picked him up. He didn't need emergency services. It was just that's an easy place to pick up, and his wife knew where it was. So I started making my way down to the river to cross the James River on the Huguenot Bridge, which has a pedestrian sidewalk. And I had checked the Virginia Department of Transportation website the night before, and because I knew they were doing construction to this bridge, and it's the same bridge that the Richmond Marathon goes across, so I know they've been working on it, so they'll have all the construction done for the marathon this fall. There was no mention on the website at all about the pedestrian crossing being closed. So, you know, I proceeded there. I was going to run across the river, and then I get my wife to pick me up on the other side once I got to my mileage goal. Well, I get up to the bridge, and it says closed for pedestrians is what it says. And on this particular bridge, you can't run against traffic in the roadway because there's just not enough room. And I guess in hindsight, I probably could have, but I think it would have been pretty stupid on my part. At that late, with that distance, you know, you don't really want to be walking with this, you know, it's 45 miles per hour across there. Anyway, I didn't even consider that. So I just, I was kind of disheartened. I tried to figure out a way, well, how am I going to get to my mileage? And the main reason I didn't want to have to double back is because to get down to the James River, and it's hard to explain if you're not familiar with the Richmond area, but the main, if you're in a car, you go down Carey Street, and that road has no shoulders. So you can't, we run down it during the Richmond Marathon, but you can't run down it while there's regular traffic. There's just nowhere to go, and it's just foolish to try to run down that. So there's a neighborhood you can cut down back behind and go behind a golf course and come out in the shopping center, which is right near the entrance to the pedestrian bridge. Well, that particular neighborhood has some ups and downs that are pretty brutal. And I was just really not looking forward to going back through those ups and downs, you know, after crossing 25 miles in my training run. But I did it, and I made my way back to the hospital ER entrance where my wife picked me up, and then we went out to lunch. Now, my ankle was hurting so much that I got a little bit worried once she picked me up and we were going to a restaurant to eat that I wasn't going to be able to walk into the restaurant, or it was going to hurt so much it was going to preoccupy my thoughts. But it turned out to be okay. What I did is I just took a couple days off from running. Did nothing. Just, you know, as much as I could. Even at work, I stayed off my feet as much as I could. And also, when I was at home, I stayed off my feet. And I asked my friend Tom what that might have been, and he thought it was tendonitis, which is overuse. So I just decided to take it easy. And then on Friday, I ran 5 miles. And then that brings me to my the 24-miler that I ran Saturday morning last week. Hooked up with Rodney again. What happens is I get up earlier on the weekends than I do during the week to get my training run started so early because they're getting so long that I don't want them to go past noon, because I want to always be home for lunch so we can have lunch as a family, and then we can do an afternoon activity, which generally consists of me horizontal on the sofa recovering until about 4 o'clock. And then we'll do something with the family. But Rodney and I met up, and we ran together, and he had to go off to a baseball game. But the forecast was rainy. So what happened was I did 10 and a half miles finishing in the pouring rain. And what I had decided to do was to bag the whole idea of running in the rain, and I was going to go finish up in the Brock Center, which is the athletic complex over at Randolph-Macon College. Randolph-Macon College is right here in the town. Well, I have access to that due to the nature of my job. I can access that facility, which is all state-of-the-art athletic weights and weight room and track and all that. And it's got the track is a 0.1 mile oval in the upstairs of the gym, like 3 lanes. It's pretty nice, and there's places to put your gear and stuff. Well, I had just decided, since the forecast was for such foul weather, and with the next day having to get in a 10 miler the next day and having church and different things that were going on, I had to just suck it up and do the rest of the 24 miles inside on that track. Well, Rodney called me right when I went home and put on all dry clothes, and I was just going to go back and put on dry shoes, and I was just going to go back and just, you know, stick it out. You know, several hours. It was going to be 135 laps on that 0.1 mile oval. Well, when I was changing clothes, I got a call from Rodney on the phone, and his baseball game had been canceled for his son, so he was interested in knowing what I was going to do, if I was going to run. Or I said, I'm going to the Brock Center. And he said, the Brock Center? I said, yeah, man, just I'm going to stick it out. So I met him over there, and we proceeded to run 13 and a half miles on a 0.1 mile oval loop, 135 laps. And I don't think I could have done it without you, Rodney. So that was pretty tough. What we had to do is we just counted them off fives, and I had a clipboard there with a piece of paper on it, and Rodney just logged our 5 mile. Every time we did a half mile, he would mark it, and we had to keep double checking. And we would towards the end, we were running with our fingers out, you know, one lap, two laps, because you get to talking, or then we were also plugging in the walk break. I don't think Rodney's probably going to do the walk run intervals like I will as much when we go down and do the Keys Ultra. You know, I've told him that, you know, we're not necessarily running together. We'll probably run together for a while, and I'm sure we'll see each other. But he does. He's got more talent, so he's probably going to do a little different thing. But anyway, we did the 7 and 3, and we stuck it out, and that was brutal. I don't recommend that. And there was a part of me that was actually considering trying to do an indoor marathon one time in the winter. You know, these places where you run around a hockey rink or something. And I think after doing 135 loops on a tenth of a mile oval, I don't think I'm interested in doing that. So anyway, got 24 miles in that day, and then got up the next morning really early and did 10 miles before we went to church at 8:30, and I felt surprisingly energetic for that run. I saw the sunrise, and it was the first time I'd run totally by myself in quite some time for the one of the long runs on the weekend, and it was really nice. I listened to some music and some podcasts, and just really enjoyed it. And I definitely need to do some more long runs like that by myself. I think one thing about the 24 miler, which part of that was on that loop, I think that helped me with some discipline. And I was telling Rodney that, you know, it's got to pay off somewhere. Running 135 laps on a tenth mile track. That's got to help me somewhere down the road. So hopefully it will. Okay, let me talk about what not to do after doing 34 miles in one weekend over the course of 2 days. Do not get tickets for the Picasso exhibit, which was at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, because then I was on my feet all afternoon on Sunday, even though I really enjoyed the art exhibit. Boy, that was brutal. I took advantage of sitting on the benches in some of the exhibit halls when we go from one room to the next. And that was tough. That was tough. But boy, what a great exhibit. But definitely not something to do after you've done a real long training run like that. Got a little note here. I made some notes for the show this year, or for this week. Just wanted to... I've eclipsed 50,000 hits on the website, which is pretty damn good. And I want to thank everyone for supporting the podcast. Especially all the regular listeners out there that we captured in a listener roll call a couple weeks back in episode 125, I think it was. Each show gets about 500 downloads once it's all said and done, which is pretty good. And I don't know where the 50,000 hits came from. I think it's from all the episodes, which I guess if you multiply, 127 times 500, I don't know what that is. Let me see if I can get a calendar. I got a calculator. I don't think that's going to be 50,000. I don't know. Let's kind of estimate that. I'm just kind of curious, actually. 127 times 500 equals... That's 63,500. So not every show has gotten 500 hits. Obviously, the early ones did not. But anyway, thank you to all the listeners for making the podcast a success. I really do like doing it. And I know some of y'all are probably thinking, oh, one hadn't been out in a couple weeks. I wonder if he's going to keep doing it. I'm going to definitely keep doing it sometime. But I've said that it's probably going to be one every 2 weeks. It's just that's how it fits into my schedule. All right, race director update. We are about, 10 days away from the Ashland Railroad Run. And we're very close to 500 registrants. Our goal is to get just over 700. And, you know, I was getting really worried early on about registration and wondering, well, why aren't people signing up? Well, you know, people don't sign up for a 10K like they do a marathon. They don't sign up months in advance and then with their whole life being centered around, you know, training for a 10K like you do for a marathon. You know, essentially you got to get in a marathon early before it fills up. And then, you know, you got your 16 weeks of training or, you know, whatever you do. And, you know, your life is kind of geared towards that. You know, some people sign up at the last minute for marathons, but they get so expensive when you wait. Well, our 10K, you know, we're going to have a lot of people sign up in the last week. The goal is to get over 700 registered for all three events. The kids run 5K and 10K. But I will be satisfied with anything over 500. And the reason is we're in the second year of the new course, which some people didn't like it. I can understand that, but I don't think that will drive away over 100 people. You know, they're tough times right now. I mean, if you sign up for the race and then you after the cutoff or after the when the price goes up to $30, and you and your spouse do that $60, and if your kid runs the kids race, then that's $70. Some people don't have $70 to spend on recreation for just a couple hours, because frankly, you don't really get a whole lot. You get a T-shirt. The kids are going to get a little wooden train whistle if they finish the kids' run, as a little keepsake, and then you're eligible for door prizes. But you really don't get a whole lot. You don't get nobody gives you. There's no finishers medals for 10K. That just doesn't happen. So you know, some people just they pass on it. But we're hoping for I'm hoping obviously to get over 500, and then of course the goal is over 700 to kind of match what we had last year. So what I'm working on now is we got Marshall training next week, and some people might balk at Marshall training. Well, with the course being partially a double loop course, and we have some new Marshalls this year, we need to let these people really know what they're getting into and what they need to do, because you have to give very specific instructions to the runners, because there are people that don't get they're not familiar with the course. They don't even know the course. They just come out thinking they're supposed to be told where to go. They got their headphones turned up so loud they don't hear anything. You know, I want the marshals to know, you know, what to do. And I don't think it's too much to ask them to come to a meeting, because the main thing is that we're going to have our police liaison there, Command Sergeant Bill Gatewood with the Ashland Police. And I want him to tell these people what they need to do if they encounter a vehicle on the course and how to handle that. Because the course runs through the historic area of the town, which is residential. And you can't stop people from going out of their driveway, you know, if they got to go to work or whatever. And sometimes race marshals tend to think that they can stop cars, and they can't. So I want the police officer to explain to them how to handle those situations. And, because a lot of people that marshal for the race are not runners, so they don't really understand all the inside stuff about how to direct vehicles and just tell them to be careful. So we want to alert them to that. So we got handouts. You know, I got to give them maps, marshal instructions, turn by turn. And I'm still preparing some stuff that what I've done is I've written up some race information that we can use year after year, which is kind of hard to believe that this race is in the 33rd year and there was just no informational pamphlet about what to expect on race day. So I wrote one up, and we're going to put that in the race packet. You know, then we got to do packet pickup. We got to set that up with volunteers, figure out, you know, how Kale, we're going to mesh with Kale Running, who's handling the chip timing for the 10K. There's just, you know, thousands of details, things that come up that all of a sudden come to your mind. Oh gosh, we got to do this. We got to do that. You know, like something as basic as music at the start finish area. Okay. Before the race starts, when people are milling around. You know, do we want music? Well, we're going to have a PA system so someone can sing the national anthem. We've lined that person up. You know, doesn't it make sense just to kind of have music there to kind of pump people up? Well, yeah, it does. But, you know, someone's got to arrange that. Someone's got to get their iPod and have music on it and figure out a way to input it into this portable PA system that we're using. So there's just details after, you know, detail after detail. We did get the race bibs in the other day. They look very cool. And our motto this year is Race the Rail. Because it's a railroad tracks, it's along the railroad tracks, and it was actually the slogan the previous race director Tammy Prophet came up with that, and I think it's really cool. So we're using that this year. And we actually put that on the bib, the race bibs. And so we're very excited. 10 days away. I could go on and on and on. If you want more information about that, that's a permanent link on ashlanddave.podbean.com on the right-hand side with the links. Just put Ashland. Or just and you go to your favorite search engine and put in Ashland Railroad Run. It should come up. And it's on Facebook. We got a Facebook page now. I don't do a whole lot on Facebook independently. I tend to just do stuff with my running group, Team Incognito. But we apparently do have a page, and you can become a friend or like it or do something like that if you want. I think that's what you do. Okay, let me talk about the gaiters I got and some of the equipment I got this week. I got three things. I got gaiters, I got a cooling bandana, and I got a reflective vest. I got the gaiters from Dirty Girl Gaiters. I got the cooling bandana and the Nathan Running reflective vest from Zombie Runner. Today I tried out the cooling bandana. It worked out pretty good. I soaked it in cold water before I went for my run. Today's run, the temperature today, I did 6 miles this evening before I did the podcast, and it was 85 degrees outside. It was pretty hot, so I used the cooling bandana, soaked it in cold water. It stayed cold around my neck for an hour, so I think that's going to work out well down with the Ultra in Florida because I'll have crew access, you know, every couple miles, so I'm just going to keep, you know, having them douse that thing in cold water. Matter of fact, I'm actually thinking about buying another one so I can just switch them out every time I stop. Also, I got a reflective vest that has blinking LED lights on the front. And this thing was cool. I tested it out last Sunday when I was out running before the sun came up and was pitch black out. My headlamp wasn't really giving out a whole lot of light, so I'm thinking about maybe purchasing another headlamp. Headlamp just doesn't give out a whole lot of light. I think I'm going to need to get something brighter. But the Nathan vest is pretty cool, and it's got a tiny little pouch on the front, which I'm not really sure where the LED battery is for the blinking lights, and I'm not really sure if that's a pouch to carry anything, because I'm not sure how much it'll be weighted down. But the vest is kind of a half vest. If you remember, I don't know, you know, some of our listeners that are at different ages, but I kind of came of age in the mid-80s, late-80s, and half shirts were kind of in, half shirts and OP shorts. And that's about how far down the Nathan reflective vest goes. It's kind of a half vest, so you can wear a waist pack and nothing's going to interfere. Now, I thought it was great, so I'm going to be using that down there at the Keys Ultra because I'll be running at night. All right, the gaiters. The gaiters are not necessarily needed for road running, but what happens to me is I tend to have the perfect toss of tiny little pebbles get tossed up into my shoes. And I tried out the gaiters Sunday, same time I tried out everything except for the cooling bandana, and no problems with rocks at all with wearing the gaiters. So, you know, thinking about actually wearing them down in Florida because, you know, I don't want to have to stop for rocks. So I know it might look kind of silly, but you know, you're going to look silly anyway after, you know, 20, 30 miles in the heat. So, you know, why not? All right, so that's the, let me check my notes here. I think that's about it. Got some good listener emails. Christina ran Boston and ran a real good finishing time. We'll hit on that. And Dave's got a race report from Ocean Drive Marathon, which I kind of passed over last time because I needed to really read through it and wanted to highlight a couple things. So let's get to the listener email, the email bag section of the show, and see who checked in this week. All right, heard from Dave, and this is the Dave that I've known for a while. This is how it's because of this Dave that I got the nickname Ashland Dave. This Dave is Mechanicsville Dave, I guess. He and I were on the same half marathon training team back in, I think, 2006. And there was two Daves, and I was from Ashland, so somebody called me Ashland Dave, and I kind of adopted that myself, actually, I guess, after I started the podcast. But anyway, Dave, he sent in a race report from the Ocean Drive Marathon, which was up in New Jersey, and This goes all the way back to March 27th. He said it's a small point-to-point race between Cape May and Sea Isle, New Jersey. But they also have an accompanying 10-mile race that's a little unique to have a marathon and then a 10-miler as opposed to a marathon and a half marathon. But he said that it kind of seemed a little strange that everything was kind of rolled up. A lot of stuff was closed. I guess it's right on the boardwalk up there. Pretty big, pretty decent sized race. He said 737 marathon finishers. Had 526 10-mile finishers. No Gatorade on the course at all until after the 11-mile mark, but they had a lot of fresh fruit out there, dedicated volunteers. And he thought that the course would be a little more scenic than it was, given that it was around the ocean, but only a couple of the miles were run on the boardwalk. And a lot of are very scarce with the porta potties. And Dave said that he had a little bit of a biological situation towards the end until he was able to get squared away. But he had a very good finishing time, 3:57, a little faster on his Garmin, he thought. But Dave, I really appreciate you sending in the race report. And what I did is I printed out all the listener emails this week. So I'm going to look through them here. I might have skipped over this, Dave, last time, but I'm pretty sure that you said that you, because Dave's a pilot, he said that he flew to a marathon and ran it. So he's probably the only person, I don't think it was this one, but he said it might have been one he did down a little, maybe North Carolina. Is that where you went, Dave? I don't know why I'm thinking of that, but he flew his plane to a marathon, ran a marathon, and flew home. So that's an interesting way to get to a race, and probably one of the more unique ways I've ever heard of. So thanks a lot, Dave, for the race report. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry it took me this long to get to it, but I have kept it in the hopper there. All right, we heard from Israel, and if you've listened to the show, I have mentioned his blog before. It's IsraelTheRunner.com. And he is an accomplished ultra runner. And he said something kind of interesting in his email back to me. And I'm going to share this with you because I was very flattered that he listened to my podcast. And he's a regular listener with some of his accomplishments if you go to his blog at IsraelTheRunner.com. But this is what he said. He's a quote, hi Dave, quote, hi Dave, thanks for the comments. I'm not really anybody either. Just happened to run farther in the last 2 years than normal. Probably as an outlet to get away from stupid office politics, running is something I can control, unquote. And then, of course, his email went on. So, yeah, Israel, I really appreciate you sending in the email. And that kind of hit a chord with me because, you know, this podcast is really just about kind of my exploits. And I try to share what other people send me as much as I can in the tail end of the show without making the show go on too long. And I really do appreciate hearing from you, and I did like looking at your blog. And anyway, I am looking at the 100K. We'll see how the 50 miler goes. Appreciate your advice on that. Also heard from this is Karen, Mom on the Run, out of Culver, Indiana, and she missed the cut for the Stand Up and Be Counted. But Karen, I appreciate you sending in that email. I put you on the listener roll call. I got a little book that I wrote everybody's name down in. I put you on that. I really do appreciate you listening to the show. And I think you said you've been a listener from the very beginning. So I really do appreciate that. And I know you've got a blog. I think it's Mom on the Run or something related to that. I'll have to check that out. I think I have checked it out before. So anyway, thanks for checking in. And I appreciate you listening to the show. Heard from Sandy. Sandy and I exchanged numerous emails, and she just signed up for her first 100 miler, which she sent me an email and said that she's not really sure why she did that. So Sandy, I'll be interested to hear how your training goes for that. She ran the Martian Marathon, sent me a couple pictures from that, finished in 4:33, well done. But that was 38 minutes slower than her PR, which was 15 or so years ago. And also, Sandy's the one that clued me in that Pam Reed is going to be running the Keys Ultra to train for Badwater. So, Sandy, thanks for that. And I'm always appreciative when you send in emails, and I do like hearing from you. Thank you. I heard from Jeff, St. Louis, and this is a correction because I was I had the wrong Jeff when I did the listener roll call, and heard from him. He was very, very nice to let me know where he was really from. So this is Jeff from St. Louis. His blog is the he doesn't have it in here. I think it's St. Louis Runner. .blogspot.com. Yeah, St. Louis, it's STL Runner. So St. Louis Runner.blogspot.com. And then I got an addendum from him. He had just completed his third half marathon and he finished in 154, which is awesome. And he took, about 16 minutes off, 15 and a half minutes off his previous half marathon time. And now he's going to slow it down a bit and focus on the distance for his first marathon in October. So, Jeff, that means you're going to train through the summer. And I wonder what the summer's like in St. Louis. So send me an email. Let me know how your training goes. And I really did like to hear from you. And I'm sorry I got your name wrong when I did a listener roll call. Certainly unintentional, as you know. Let's see. Got a couple comments on the website. Heard from Snuggy Bear. He listened to the Keys podcast. He said he's all jazzed about it now. If only he'd been training, he'd come down there for us. And he thought the tips from Mandy were really good about the clean ice coolers, dirty ice coolers, stuff like that. And he thought she was a great guest. John, thanks for commenting on the site. Appreciate that. And if you want to comment on the website in lieu of email, you can do that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Emails can go to ashlanddave@gmail.com. That gets you in the inner circle there. Heard from Adam at the Boring Runner, and always good to hear from Adam. He's got a real good sense of humor. He loved the throwback to episode one. I can't remember what episode that was, but I did it a couple episodes back. And Adam, I was part of the Steve Runner's Call to podcast. I don't know if he still does that or not. I don't listen to his show each time, just due to time, but the amount of time I have. He inspired me to start my own podcast, and I never really wanted the podcast to get to be so huge that it was unmanageable, because you know it's a part-time hobby. But yeah, he, you know, Steve Runner, actually, you know, his last name is Walker. he's kind of started this whole thing, and I kind of thought it was a great idea. I thought I'd give it a shot. So yeah, that was me. And he did get some other people started. I've seen a lot of them come and go, you know, podcasts. And the shame is that I subscribe to a whole lot of through iTunes, and then, you know, you never see another episode for a couple months, and then eventually I just delete that and unsubscribe, which is a shame, because you got to put something out periodically if you want people to kind of stick with you. You got to get something at least out there every couple weeks. So, Adam, appreciate the email. Good to hear from you. I got another one from Sandy. This was really funny. She found something in, I think it was Tulsa. I guess that's Oklahoma, isn't it? Apparently they have something there called the Center of the Universe, and it was a detour. She found it somewhere on the internet. Apparently it was some kind of detour for some kind of event that added an extra 0.3 miles. It was kind of funny. She said she had to send that to me because of where I live. And there's a couple other places in the United States that kind of build themselves as the center of the universe. One of them just happens to be Ashland, Virginia. And it's not for an arrogant reason. It's just because a former mayor of the town one time started a speech, and he said, "Isn't it a wonderful day in the center of the universe?" And they just kind of stuck at that point. It's kind of funny, but anyway, Sandy, good to hear from you. I should have included that other email in your other one, but thanks for taking the time to send that in. Snuggy Bear left another one on the site about the bagel heating tip, and if you haven't listened to that show, it's a friend of mine, Meriwether, who ran the Shamrock Marathon this past March, actually heated up her bagel in tinfoil using the iron in her hotel room, and I thought that was a great tip if you don't have a microwave, if you want to eat your bagel hot. Heard from Christina, and hey Christina, thanks for the barbershop picture. That was really cool. She ran 3:41 at Boston just a couple days ago on Patriots Day. So well done, Christina. That was her first Boston. I think that's awesome. I'm not sure if that was better than your PR And I'm not sure if you requalified with that time or not because of your age, but I did send you an email, but I got a kickback saying it was out of the office. But let me know how the experience was. And what I'll do is if you do a race, I'm sure you'll do a race report on your blog. Her blog is Lazy Bones Running. Check that out. She's always got really cool information on there. And I've been emailing with her for a while now. You know, she's a just dedicated runner and a fast runner, too. Christina, thanks for sending in that picture. I appreciate it. I also heard from Tom on the website, left a comment about the Keys Ultra, and he was commenting on the part two with Mandy, and his quote, well, his comment was, as a bit more famous ultra runner once said, prepare to die. That would have been Dean Karnazes, and he said he wished he could make it down to see us finish in Florida. Yeah, I know that'd be a little much for Tom to drive down to Florida to see us finish. The prepare to die thing, when Rodney ran the 50-mile ultra in Atlanta at Pine Mountain, which was one of the North Face events, Dean Karnazes was out there at the beginning, and he was just kind of giving some announcements before the race started. And he said the only level part of the race was the beginning, and then basically he said, prepare to die. So that was how hard that course was, and Rodney did that. All right, we got, let's see, heard from Doug, and I got the MP3 on If My Shoes Could Talk, so yeah, I'll just definitely listen to that. Good to hear from you, Doug, appreciate that. He said Bama Runner came up to run a 50K, a fun run 50K, and Doug was going to run 12 miles with him and then do the rest of the bike and crew him. So thanks, Doug, for the email, really appreciate that. And also heard from Jamie. And this Jamie's the one I met at the Hatfield McCoy, which was in Kentucky and West Virginia, when I was injured. I went out there and kind of helped some friends. And she's a doctor, and so we kind of just started a little bit of discussion about drinking too much water and running in Florida. After she listened to part two with Mandy, you know, she had some stuff to add about running in Florida. And she just was, you know, cautioning me about drinking too much water, and I really did appreciate her advice. So Jamie, thanks for doing that. I can't remember the name of your blog. I know you've got, I can't think of the name off the top of my head. But anyway, thanks for the advice. I'm gonna look at these salt sticks that that she mentioned, and see if that's something I can take to the Florida Keys. And then the last one is from Crash Kreider. And he commented on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And he's got, he told me that he actually had the pictures of my feet with, you know, the skin sloughing off as his desktop background. So, but he was just kidding. Anyway, yeah, they're instant cult classics. And what those are, if you don't know what those are, if you've missed some of the last shows since last June, I had significant injuries to my feet after running, I've talked about this almost every show. After running my first 50-miler, I had some injuries to my feet, which put me out of work for 2 weeks. And but those pictures are available for download, so you will know, or for me to send to you at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you want to look at them. There's two of them. That way you'll know what it looks like if you mix heat, moisture, and friction without doing anything to intervene. You can really put yourself out of commission. However, you will recover, which I have. My feet are strong, and I'm back in the saddle, you know, ready on the cusp of doing another 50 mile or so. Anyway, Crash, good to hear from you, and hopefully I'll see you guys. I guess you and Snuggy at the railroad run. Come out here and help me put some cones up. Well, that's the show for this week. I'll have another one out in a couple weeks, hopefully less than that. You know, gosh, here it is, almost 50 minutes into this show, I was worried that I didn't have enough material for a whole show, but if you listen to my podcast, you know I can ramble and talk about, I can talk nonstop for probably about 2 hours. Anyway, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
Ashland Railroad Run. Come race the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 30th for the 33rd annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. This race is one of Virginia's first eco-friendly races and the area's longest running 10K race. This race features a flat certified course along the tracks, which is great for setting a PR. This event also features some of the best and most unique door prizes of any race around the Richmond, Virginia area. Be sure to come to the center of the universe on April 30th and race the rail. For more information, go to hannoverarts.org or email ashlanddave@gmail.com. I ran the kids' race last year, and it was fun. Run Ashland first. See you there.